Hey Pijuju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chami, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook and all that.
Serious, what's the time now?
Wait, it's almost 1800 hours! I need to tune into Eagle FM! Business Economic Segment is about to play now!
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Shombe from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade, and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, good evening. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. It's that time of the evening that we discuss about business, economics, trade, and everything that is affecting our bread and butter. And we are greeting you from your number one favorite radio station in Namibia, that is Eagle FM. And we are here from the hour of 1800 hours until the hour of 1900 hours. And here is where we are going to communicate with you and give you perspective, and also giving you facts, especially facts which are related to issues of economic development. Where are you finding yourself this evening? Where are you finding yourself? How is mid-January? Are you pushing? Are you still pushing? There is 15 more days. Let us push. We do not need to give up. And there is always a saying to say, even the sun does not forget the small village, even in the time of difficulty. Look ahead and also see what needs to be done, because there is always a solution. And that too shall pass, especially from that economic affairs. And you know, we are also at the moment where we are receiving various information, various news, but what you are indicating is to say the parents must make sure that they support their children, especially in receiving good or bad news, especially after they get their results. You know, coming from grade 12 or coming from high school, it's like you're coming from exile, although I was not at war. But I've read about the program of reintegration, demobilization, and also integration of an individual to the society, and particularly to the students who end up not making good marks or not making it. It's quite very important, especially to speak to somebody, because that is not the end of the world. And actually, that is also something that in your life is teaching you something to say. If you fail today, what does it mean? And you are going to be defined by failure. And they are saying a true character is being defined by failure. Especially, we also have a challenge of super A students. You know, if you are an A student, and they are always those guys that when they are in class, when he get 85 percentage in a test, he want even to cry. But me, I'm celebrating when I got 50. He want to cry, he go to the teacher and want to complain. But it's also something which we need to look at that case to say, if you did not make it, make sure that one of the way is to speak to somebody, and also to speak in the word of encouragement. And you know, I was looking at one video of a young Namibian who found herself in southern part of Asia. And you know, looking at that video, it reminds me of when you watch Arabo movies about Thailand and others, you realize to say those things really happen. But let us be careful also. We are also advising, especially when it comes to issues that are related to human trafficking. Let us look at those deals that we are getting online that look too good to be true. Let us analyze them. Let us look at them and say, why should I say that I deserve that more than any other person? Because that is the only way that you are going to evaluate and see and differentiate effects, and also a skirmish or a scammer who want to play with you, maybe want to take your organ, maybe want to sell you in the black market, especially our beautiful ladies, especially our ladies. young women, particularly those who are ambitious, who want to become models, who want to become somebody, who want to study, who want to impress their parents, make sure that going abroad, you need the right information. You need also people, and learn to get information from real people so that you can be able to move forward, and you protect your life. And yeah, these elections are going on in Uganda, and we are yet to see the results, particularly the preliminary results. And so far, we did not receive any bad news there in Uganda. And we understand that there is a presence of FAU Observation Mission, international institution, and is election which has attracted global attention, particularly looking at the politics and the governance of Uganda. Uganda has been making a lot of history and news since the 80s. Uganda has been making news in politics, in governance, in the politics of Africa. Since the 1979, during the administration of General Idi Amin Dada, and also administration of Milton Obote, then come to Yoweri Museveni, the general who got into power at the age of 36 there. And when you are looking at him now, he's around 81 years, and one of the things that you need to look into is also the aspect of, governance and also a succession plan. And you also need to ask yourself to say, why is it difficult for people to leave the chair? Because I was also, when you compare, somebody have showed me a BBC interview when the president of And these are things which are recorded, actually. And you can go and look at it. And the president of Zimbabwe, that Idi Mnangagwa, who was indicating to one of the BBC journalists to say, even if the people want me to return to power, I will do that because I will not do that. I will make sure that I exit power because it's a democratic process and I'm going to believe in constitutionalism. And the way he was saying it, in a very diplomatic way, in a very calm way, you thought that is what would happen. But you know what happened last year? They have indicated that they're going to extend because of his good governance, and he accepted actually that he's going to extend. Who knows until when? Those are the questions that you should ask. But what are the principles saying? Do we really need to bend the constitution for our own interest? Do we really need to make sure that laws is formed by men can be changed anytime? Or we need to stick on the principles whether we are in our favor or not? Yeah, today we will be looking at Global Risk Report by World Economic Forum. Global Risk Report by World Economic Forum, especially looking into the case study of Namibia and also other African countries to say where are we standing and also what are some of the risks and challenges that we should continue face and how should we address them. And are these new challenges or challenges which have been in existence, and what have we done about it? What are some of the programs of actions that we have that we are using in order to make sure that when it comes to, these challenges that are facing our Namibian people, when it comes to these challenges that are suffocating our system, when it comes to these challenges that are coming from outside to disturb peace and, the future of Namibia, what other things that we need to do to make sure that we protect our economy, we expand the economy, we create employment, we promote innovation and also, the aspect of sustainable, affordable energy, and the philosophy of electrification should not just be on paper, but individuals must be able to get those assistance. Those are some of the things that we are going to look at, and we are also going to look at when we are talking about this risk that we are going to face in the next 2 years or so, where are other countries?
When life gifts you an unexpected breakdown, Take control with Express Credit. No need to panic when you're in the driver's seat of your financial life. Borrow 3,000 to 32,000 Namibian dollars, repayable over 2 to 5 months. Same day approval. Visit www.expresscredit.com.na or call 081 9500 500 for more information.
Yes, or so. Where are other countries? Because there is no country without risk. But what is risk to other country? Because sometimes when you do not have anything to eat, everything is food. When you are poor, you do not have a choice. And some of the things are not even a problem. But it's only when you start advancing, you realize to say these are just problems. Because other people, what they complain about, we don't even... when we are at the beginning of the year on how we can move forward, how we can improve our lives, and also you know, when it comes to the relationship too between the stakeholders and actors in Namibia, economic development, how should we empower the educated servant of the people, the trained servant of the people, particularly we speak about young professionals. We see a lot of young professionals, particularly those who enter public sector. There's something which is coming out there to say you follow the lines, because there's quite a difference between public sector and private sector. To say in public sector, you follow the line which is there. When you have a degree in accounting, you find an accountant with a certificate there who is your senior. You have to wait for the next 5 years for you to get that promotion, or even 10 years. But we are saying, why can't we let the capable, the able, the energetic of our time to lead, and also to bring about a new and fresh idea, and also for the system to be polished, ironed, and also the system also to not to have a lot of blockage. Because what we see sometimes is also the aspect of human capital that we have. Do we really have the right people in right places? So, and how can we address this moving forward? Yeah, we are moving forward with business and economic segment with me, David Shombe. And there's other thing that we need to put in mind to say, why are we being reminded about things that we already know? Why are we being reminded about things that we already know? Maybe it will get into our mind to that extent that we also know that what is our role as citizens? What is your role when we say that... Namibia, we are highest earning country in the world, second to South Africa. What does it mean to you? And what is your role into that? Or do you only expect the government to come and assist us? Why can't we do it also on our own? And what am I doing to make sure that I transfer those information accurately, so that that of who is a researcher, that also who is closer to power, and also that also who have influence, will be able to bring those information to people that can be able to change the status quo. Now, before we go to the global risk report, I just want to give you an example. I see that people are demoralized, but we don't need to be demoralized. Some people, they start to be so negative. We don't need to be negative about the future, because whether we are negative, whether we are positive, the fact of the matter is that we have to get things right. The fact of the matter that the problem will not go away if we do not identify ourselves and our role in that solution to those problems. Because now, somebody asked at one of the economic group which I am in about, why do we have don't we have regulations on things? Don't we have regulations on things? Because every time you see there's a new regulation which is being proposed, there is consultation. And you're already asking yourself to say, when are we going to get time? When are we going to get time to bring bread on the table? Because there's just consultation, we are coming back to you, we are doing that. It's happening now, actually, with listening to the voices and presentation of various education representative organization. You realize to see people want clarity. There is ambiguity in terms of the current education system. There is ambiguity in terms of that, but people are saying, you know, we are discussing, we are still discussing. But imagine, when did the president of this country give a directive and a pronunciation? President stood in parliament during her maiden speech and said, education is free. Fee has fallen. And Namibian children will be educated. One of the best pragmatic speech I have ever seen, that he said is going to be done from next year, which is now. All children who completed their high school, who were admitted to university, parents should not be concerned. That was the state. Go and read that. I know it. Parents should not be concerned, but they should only be concerned about what? They should be concerned about accommodation and maybe paying food for their children, because education is going to be subsidized. On top of that, we are too few to be poor. It has been stated, and that is a political direction. How you are going to do it is up to you. But now it's look like maybe it's coming. Let's hope it's coming. But people are still discussing. We are still under discussions. I was listening one day ago from one of the senior administrators within the Ministry of Education. You know, about those things we are still discussing. But how can you discuss for 6 months or seven or eight or nine or 10? How can you discuss for the whole year? And let us hope that one is going to be ironed out. But before we go to global risk report, you can also predict. When you speak about global risk, the World Economic Forum, which is an intergovernmental institution, intercontinental, it's a global, institution which comprise of experts from government, non-governmental organizations, NGOs, civil society organizations, academia, and across the sector, the youth too. What the World Economic Forum do is that they give prediction, they do research, they do survey at a global scale, at a continental scale, and also per country. That's why every year they present a global risk report. And the good thing about the risk, especially from those who are into risk management, is that you need to understand the risk involved before you move in. You need to understand the risk involved before you implement a certain plan. That's why those consultants who deal with organizational strategic plans, they always look at SWOT analysis, PESTLs, and all these models which are created to make sure that you study the risk first. What are the risks? What are your strengths? What are your weakness? And where is your opportunity? That is a SWOT analysis from a national perspective. But now, when we speak about this risk, are these risks also interconnected in a region, or they are just affecting one country? And you'll be also shocked to see when you compare what Global Risk Report of 2025 and 2026 is saying. To say some of the risks, they persist. But you also have other new risks that come in the top five, because they look at the top five to say what are those major things that Namibia and other countries are really going to deal with, are really going to be faced with. But remember, if you have top five, doesn't mean that those one that were in the top five, if you don't see them, doesn't mean that you address them. It also means that maybe your top 10 is a bit dangerous, it's a riskier. But the question is always coming to say, it's not about judging, it's not about being negative, it's not really about presenting the data which are not good for the public, but it's also about the public to understand that they also have a role to play. They also need to understand some of these things are caused by public, it's us who cause these things. Some of these things is not only about policymaker and implementer. It's not only that. It's not only about the private sector. It's even faith-based institutions too. they must be able to come on board and understand their role in Namibia development. If not, we are not going to get anywhere. If you only have the citizen who are active and the government is not active, you are not going to go anywhere. If you have the sharp, well-positioned government and citizens, they are not interested, we are not going to go anywhere. That's why we say, when we speak about global, you know, economic report, particularly on risk, we must be able to understand whose role, where, and what is that is expected from you. And also to see what intervention, what is necessary is that, what are some of the interventions that the country have come up with in order to address those risks. One thing that has been stated, continue to be stated, has been around that we still did not address up to this year. Maybe it will be addressed this year, is coherence in terms of policy and institution. What you need to remember is that the policymaker is not the architect of the institution. Then you also understand that it's not also not the same person who is going to work in that institution. And it's not the same person that is going to fund that institution. But what is necessary is that is when you have a coordination, when you have a coherence, when you have well-defined policy. Now, if 2022 APRM report indicated that there is no coherence of institution in Namibia, there is duplication of duties, what have we done about it? We have tried, but we still have to do more. We have tried with Magic of Ministries, but I also find a bit complication, and it's coming out actually in terms of how to manage this combined institution, particularly when you look at the ministries. That's why somebody wrote an article on rotational grazing and spoke about how can you this rotation of accounting officers is not sustainable, and it's also disturbing us, because if you are employed, you need to get your roots, you need to get your ground, you need to understand. You can be a professor or somebody, but you still need to familiarize yourself with the environment. But if I move you after two days from this company to the other one, even if I'm going to give you the same job of an accountant, you are not going to feel comfortable. And it will take time also to build that relationship too. But that could be caused by also merging of institution, and also try to find the balance. Let's hope 2026 we find that balance. Now, not dwelling much on that, let us look at the report itself. It's quite massive, and some of these things we must be able to read also on our own, especially just take time. You take 10 minutes to read and see. You don't need to memorize everything. You take 10 minutes, 20 minutes, you read, you understand, and at least you can be able to enter the debate with one or two points. At least when you understand that, it's more easier than when you are just hearing. Because when you understand where the world is coming from, where the world is going, then it's easier. It is stated that the methodology which was used by the Global Risk or to produce a Global Risk report by World Economic Forum is Global Risk Perception Survey that consists of expertise and bring about the production and bring about the presentation of this report. And this report is done to guide governments, NGOs, private sector, and also international institutions and business community too, especially when it comes to their operation and when it comes to the way they deal with system and institution at the different region that they find themselves in the world. And the report itself include risk landscape, include the consequences, what would happen, include also risk governance, and looking at that summary, and also other key findings. But what is our interest today? Our interest today is not necessarily to look at economic risk or go into details of what the report has to say, but in calculation of the summary, particularly in terms of the figures that are showing, economic and also political and governance challenges, we must be able to look at the current global risks landscape. What is happening in the world? What are some of the risks which are happening and are cutting across? And in presenting that, at number one, you have geo-economic confrontation. There's, I think in the past 2 weeks or even the past 1 month, there's nobody who did not hear about the way the Donald Trump, the way America, the way Venezuela, the way Iran, Russia, Ukraine, some of these people, some of these names became a household name. Xi Jinping, Chairman Xi Jinping, Ramaphosa, and all this G20 words coming out. Maybe you did not really get the time to get into that. But what do we mean when we speak about geo-economic confrontation? Is to say geo-economic confrontation to be one of the major risks that the world is facing is that there is a fight among superpowers who is ruling the world in terms of trade. There is competition everywhere. Competition in terms of the economy, competition in terms of advancement, in terms of technology, competition in terms of military, competition across the board. But in this civilized world, people do not only fight with guns, they are fighting with tariffs. That's why that continued to persist in 2026 and will continue to persist in the next 2 years. Now, the other thing is also what is stated is state-based armed conflict. State-based armed conflict, these are conflict within states. And that's why you see in Africa, if you go to any town, you always meet somebody. If you go to Chivarongo, if you come to Windhoek, if you go to the southern part of Namibia, you always meet our brothers from Congo. Our brothers from DRC, our brothers from, West Africa there. Some they came with business. Some they came running away from war. And those are some of the things that we need to look at. The other thing also is extreme weather. Extreme weather. And when you speak about extreme weather, that is has to do with climate change. It has to do with climate change. And that is one of the things that is going to impact us. And it's a change actually in terms of either rain pattern, the change in terms of land that is caused by mostly by those who are using fossil fuel and clean, non-green gases exploded into the air, especially where you look at some of these things that are against United Nations policies on climate change, against Paris Agreement, and also against international convention, especially when it comes to keeping the world clean. Because if they are burning fossil in Angola, they do not have power and control over what is coming within the air, because it's quite difficult to control the borders and control the air. And that is exactly what is happening. And you also have misinformation, societal polarization, economic downturn, lack of economic opportunity, unemployment. And what is interesting is that when you look at this this global risk, for example, if you look at lack of economic opportunity as a global risk, is stated to be at just 2%, which means that other countries are dealing with other problems, but to us it's a major risk. Even issues of cybersecurity in the world, they are not really, bigger threats, but to Africa and to Namibia, then they are bigger threats. Maybe that is also what we need to look at, that for us to catch up with the world. What is that that we need to do to make sure that we move forward when it's coming to that, you know, solving those challenges. Yeah, now the question is now, what are some of the five key things that our country is going to face in 2026? And looking into this report, it's indicated that at number one is lack of opportunity, lack of employment in Namibia now is elevated to number one. At number two, we have inequality of wealth and income. At number three, we have public debt. And at number four, we have insufficient public service and also social protection. Then that is include education, infrastructure, and pensions. And at number five, to help me unpack this, especially looking at the top five things that Namibia continue to face with in 2026, I got into the conversation with Mr. Salom Ipinge, who is an economist, and also to look at that line, really, to look at where is the country going through, and what other things that we did not do. And what can we do moving forward? And to comment on that, just before I look at what Mr. Salomo Ipinge has stated, maybe it's also to look at what other countries are going through. Now, when you look at Netherlands, for example, or New Zealand, when you look at Netherlands, their main problem is misinformation, not unemployment. Their main problem is misinformation that can be dealt with, actually. The other problem is geoeconomic confrontation, and that is global affairs. The other thing is lack of talent and shortage, societal polarization, cyber insecurity. Those are their problems. If you compare them with our problems, you realize, you say, we also have this one, but they are not a concern now, because we have bigger one that we are dealing with. If you look at countries such as Portugal, they also have economic downturn, insufficient public service, talent, and also misinformation. If you look at Qatar, you have inflation, asset bundle bust, economic downturn, state-based armed conflict or proxy war, and biological or chemical hazards. And look at other countries such as Rwanda. You realize to say, in their top five, they have something such as online harm, inflation, they also have a bit of health inequality. And you realize to say, we have much problems that we have to deal with, especially looking in 2026. And maybe just to look into 2026 and say, what is that we did really in 2025? If our main problem is lack of opportunity, what is that we do? What we did in 2025? 2025, we have invested in various projects. Green hydrogen is one of them. I've invested in sending children to school, but the situation continued to persist, especially the situation that is involving young people getting training and skills, even if they are funded by scholarship. When they come back at home, it's very difficult for them to thrive, to expand, and also to show the talent that they have learned, which is quite concerning. When you look at inequality and wealth, it has been stated, many policies have been stated, they've been stated about dealing with income and wealth inequality. There was a policy of willing buyer, willing seller. There are policies that are dealing with resettlement. How many people are talking about resettlement in terms of farms? In that aspect, when we speak about resettlement in terms of farms, in that aspect now, at what rate are people are resettled? Because if you look at the people that need to be resettled, and the numbers of people that are resettled, you realize to say, if we are moving at this pace, by the time the administration comes to an end, we still have that problem. If you look at the issue of housing, for example, that also one of the factor that is out there, especially when you look at wealth inequality. Now, one of my callers likes saying we are living in two different cities. When you come to Windhoek, you realize that we are not living in the same city. We may be in the same city, but we are not breathing the same air. We don't have the same way of thinking. Because why? The city is still divided. As it was divided in 1959, it's still divided. Where you have those who have and they have not. You have the owners of the means of production, the bourgeoisie, and you have the proletarian. And this gap continues to expand. And what is scary is that its expansion is not only within the country, it's at a global level. We are at number two in terms of a gap, which means that you have very few people who are getting extremely amount of income. And you find the majority of the people are getting almost to nothing. And filling that gap that continues to expand every year, every month, every day is a scary thing, because that is what you are supposed to fill. And debts, public debts, and also debts which you can also downscale. Not only within public debts, you also have corporate debts and also household debts, which means that everybody, we are in debt, and we need to deal with this aspect. In insufficient public service, insufficient public services, one of the things which is indicated is education. I don't know now, did they think when they were conducting research, because I understand that this study was conducted before 26, and they have to look at the institution of the state. Did they not include what we propose, particularly when it comes to free education? Here you have education, which is also part of insufficient public service delivery. And it can also speak to you about what you are seeing now in the public, where you have service delivery, where you have insufficient, and you also have people who feel that they are not included, especially when it comes to development and when it comes to issues that has to do with public services. Now, the other interesting thing that we must also look at is illicit financial flow. It's illicit financial flow. And when you speak about illicit financial flow and also illicit crimes, that is one of the things that we have been speaking about. It's one of the things which was actually stated by the report of Namibia Central Bank. That is it's a report of April, especially the one that is looking at financial stability, and also the report that came at the end of the year, around September there. So the same thing to say, Namibia will continue to persist in terms of cybersecurity. And cybersecurity crimes are not only happening within the country, they are also happening with factors or agents that are operating outside the country. That's why we are not shocked when we hear the issues of Namibians being trafficked to Thailand and also Myanmar. But those are the things that we should continue to speak about, and we should also not only speak but deal with them. Now let us look at the words of Solomon Ipinge, especially when he is reflecting on this report.
Okay, so David, yes, what are my view in terms of the statement? And I'm going to outline just each of the factors that are outlined on your message.
At ShopRite, we're helping you make your money go further with our wide range of back-to-school savings. Save big on essentials like big crystal ballpoint pens, all variants for just $18.99, two per pack, 4 marks, 4-pocket school backpack, all variants for only $119.99 each, and an 8-piece primary school stationery set or 10-piece high school stationery set for a low $54.99 per set. Valid until 8 February 2026. Shop more back-to-school savings only at ShopRite.
On your message, as far as unemployment is concerned, unemployment remains a huge concern in our country at the moment and for the last past couple of years, and it is still going to be a problematic issue in the near future. But however, we do have hope, particularly to what the government has now recently done through the leadership of Honorable Netumbo Ndeitwa, where education, tertiary education is now subsidized or rather paid or rather free to the students. I do believe that will evolve the skills of the individual so that they are able to perhaps start businesses, become entrepreneurs, so they are able to recruit others. So we do have hope, especially with this course of action by making education free. And that would probably curve our employment issue. In terms of inequality, this is a factor that it's a global factor. It's in most of the part of the world. Ideally, this really is a concern, because then, money circulates between the elites, the tops, the richer remains richer and become richer, the poor become poorer and poorer. And that kind of inequality really brings the nation, or let me say the economy, not to grow, because the economy is actually in the vast of the people, and most of the vast of the people are low in income earners. So a balance need to be struck in that area. In terms of debt, debt is a very, very, very serious factor in Namibia. I would say like statistics showed that 90%, above 90% of working class in Namibia are over indebted. Over indebted simply means that people have borrowed beyond the means that they are able to afford to repay back these loans. And hence this create a cycle of poverty, because people cannot move forward. People cannot participate in proper financial transactions, like perhaps purchasing properties, buying home loan, applying for home loans, because the money is already grabbed by all of the debt or unsecured debt, which causes the consumers also to then get blacklisted, and that's, they would never be able to do anything in the financial sector again. So that is a major, major problem. But again, we do have a hope. The hope is that the current government is really doing drastic changes, things like suspending the AVRIL system that does payroll deductions for public servants. That I believe will curve a lot, or will do a big dent in terms of the indebtedness level of the Namibians, and it will also cause a balance in terms of the economy in the financial sector and on its own. Inadequate public services goes very well in line and along with illegal activities, and inadequate public services is a very serious factor, and has a very in a very serious concern to us as a country and as a nation. And I'm not sure what causes inadequate public services, even from the servant themselves providing unprofessional services to the public. And this could be caused by different factor. Perhaps maybe they are not getting sufficient human resource, or let me say, you know, they are not getting sufficient human support to be able to encourage them to do their work diligently. And not only that, is that the people that are entrusted in certain offices abuses their power by looting government resources through corruptions and so forth. That's why we lack of equipment, even products itself in our public offices. So I would encourage here, my encouragement here is to encourage our fellow Namibians, our citizens, that we should take ownership and take responsibilities that is entrusted in our, on top of our shoulders, so that we are able to be honest and really be there to serve the public and avoid any form of corruption is the only way that we can move. Okay, in terms of the factors that impact or that has an impact, a direct impact on the country's GDP, such as the labor shortages, food shortages, and water supply shortages. These are really serious concerns, because this is what drive the nations to move forward. This is what fuel the nation to move forward. You can't have a hungry nation. You need a nation with a workforce. You need water supply. And my recommendations and advice here to all the Namibians is that we should really shift our focus and pay attention more into the agricultural sector, where we are able to produce our own food, not only to produce for ourselves, but to even go beyond and export. We are a very small population, and we can produce, and we have got a mass land where we can produce sufficient food to supply outside the country, which in turn will boost our GDP. In terms of water supply, we are a country that is blessed with a lot of potential in terms of having sufficient water. I would recommend and suggest that, you know, we should look into water harvesting. I mean, we have a lot of oceans in the north. We can dig up large dams that are able to preserve the water, and we harvest that water to last throughout the years, and we still use that water to irrigate our crops and our farming systems and so forth. So there is an open gap in terms of opportunities and what can be done, and these are already identified. It's just action is required, and I am pleading with all Namibians to stand up as an individual and start from anywhere. Let's just start from anywhere. Those are my views. Thank you.
Yeah, that is a conversation. That is a conversation, especially from Salomo Ipinge. And what you need to know is that we must be able to start from anywhere. We must be able to start from anywhere to say these risks, these challenges that we are finding ourselves in, this thing that we are saying, no, Namibia, we have a lot of challenges, we have a lot of crimes. Sometimes it's our friends, sometimes it's our cousins, sometimes it's our sister, our brothers, our parents who are committing these crimes. We must be able also to play our role and stop them, indicate to them that it's not good. We speak about And there's always this thing, and it pains me. You speak about, no, men, they are abusive, they are what, and all these things. And women, they do a lot of things, but we speak with them. We have them at home. We speak about, you do not want to work. You do not want to partake. We have them at home. Why can't we advise them? We speak about, some people are not collaborating, but are you collaborating with anyone? Because sometimes you realize to say, we spend most of the time asking people to assist us, but little did we know that most of these assistance are coming from us. Most of these assistance is us who have to initiate them. That is why, looking at what it has been stated, especially from Salomo Ipinge, we need to move forward. We need to make sure that we should not only speak, but we do what we say. And we also assist one another. In time of trouble, we must be able to assist one another. Because if it's very difficult out there, so we may be of the same age, we may have the same qualification, we may have, the same, we may be born in the same month, but our economic background is not the same. The way we position ourselves within the economic sector is not the same. That is why, if we want to move forward and deal with this thing of economic inequality, we really need to work with one another. We assist one another, not only economically, not only in terms of materials or finance, but also in terms of advice to say, David, John, Matthew, this is how we should deal with issues. This is how we should participate. This is how we should present the results. This is how we should analyze issues. And this is how we can contribute to the real, economic building of the country. And also to a greater nation, because everybody is aiming and dreaming for the Namibia that we want. But we need to make sure that we don't only dream, but we do what we say. Yeah, we are almost at the end of our conversation. However, just while we are speaking about these economic issues, to say the world is not going to wait for us to put our house in order. The world will never wait for us to put our house in order. Problems in the world will continue to persist. Nobody in Namibia has a power to stop the decision that Donald Trump will make or not make over Iran. Nobody has a power to stop Russia and Ukraine. Although there are those institutions that trusted with the responsibilities. And the main concern is that for how long we are going to be behind. That should be the concern. That should be the main concern, to say, for how long are we going to be behind? Because if we are not asking ourselves that question, then we are not doing justice to ourselves. Because when you look at that aspect of African countries being colonized, being not treated fairly within international financial institutions, being in debt, being not given the same rates of interest, particularly when they are borrowing money, and also very difficult for them actually to build industries, being bombarded by greenfield investment, and also without much power, especially to change the situation which is affecting their own people. Africa of conflict, we must realize to say there is a way out. And the way out has been presented actually to say, is Africa Continental Free Trade Area. But we can't go to Africa Continental Free Trade Area without sorting out the issues at home. Because if the eighth administration is speaking about 500,000 jobs, for example, let us now not blame each other, but let us now speak about now 2026, to say in 2025 there were a lot of, and I really supported that, and I was giving salutation especially to Dr. Hamuvindu that time when he was at the Minister of Finance, because that document came with his signature, especially in allowing young people to get internship, graduate development program. And that is the best thing that the government have done. But the main issue is that sustainability of graduate development program. How many of those young people who got the internship in the public sector, particularly the public sector, got absorbed by the system? Because when you have an intern, sometimes you have a project to complete. How many of them really got absorbed by the system? And how many of them went back?
Save so much more in 2026 at WB. Get 1 liter Clover Ultra UHT milk for $19.99. 1 kg Top Score Instant Maize for only $23.99. 500 gram Bacomo Cornflakes for only $29.99. And 8 Twin Saver 300 sheet 1-ply toilet rolls for only $33.99. See more January specials at Wurmanbrock.com. We care.
Absorbed by the system, and how many of them went back to the same situation? Because we must not look at the short term impact of the situation. We must address the long term impact. To say, if you have a developmental program, if you have an apprenticeship, if you have internship program, look ahead. What other project do you have? Where are you going to place these people? So you're going to send them back home so they can continue again, compete at a difficult situation. We must really address these issues. And I hope, especially education institutions, particularly those who have been advocating for expansion in terms of internship, they must speak, particularly the government, who is the main employer of Namibians, to say, yes, it's good to give people training, but long term, 3 months is not enough. Some 6 months is understandable. But what is the long term impact of this? Because we continue to have a lot of graduates coming in. We continue to have a lot of graduates coming in. We continue to enroll. No matter the complication in terms of who is funded, is not going to be funded. People have to go to those colleges, universities, and they come back with their qualification. Then they will be still coming to your doorsteps. And it's not going to be a very good thing if what they want to be done, what they want to be addressed, what they are advocating for, what they have been advised to study, is not okay. It's not taken. Because I'm always referencing to people who got scholarship, who got funded, but when they come, the project is still not opened. Maybe it's now the right time to relook at those things, to say the world should not only look at us from that lens, but they should also look at us Namibians from the lens of practical reality, and also the lens that we are able to solve challenges that we are faced with. Any challenges that face the Namibia, we can deal with it. While we are waiting to deal with global affairs, we may be very good at attending international events and building relationships, but are this relationship really benefiting an ordinary person? We may attend international conferences, but the same institution are writing report about us not doing something, and we still continue asking the question to say, where is our data? Where is our data? Where are the data of development? What happened last year? What happened in the past 15 days in the year 2026? What will happen? What the model which did not work? Are the ministries continue to submit their data? And I was trying to contact a few of Green Scheme managers, but I got a few different responses. But it seems like the data are not really there to see how much we have produced. I want those data, and everybody wants those. And Namibians too want those data to say, if we are reviving green schemes, let us ask this question. If we are reviving green schemes, I've seen Tunda have been producing. We see a few understandable products coming out of there. But the question should continue being asked to say, are the green scheme producing? Did they start producing? At what rate? And those records, people must have them. And if they need assistance, at least people must get assistance. So, dear listeners, thank you very much for listening to Business and Economic Segment. And with me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now. See you around. And sharp, sharp.